happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Rotobond Podcast. Pete Davidson here, as usual. That was the Allman Brothers bringing us in. Sorry, the long intro, but I just felt like letting it play. That song, for those of you who don't know, is called Revival. Thought it would be appropriate on a day where at least some of us are probably 2-2, 1-3, gasp, 0-4. I'm lucky. I don't have any 0-4s on my hands. I do have one and three, but that was an 0-3 going into this week, so it's at least feeling a little bit better. But I know, you know, just looking around a couple of my leagues, I've seen some 0-4 teams in my leagues that are actually really good teams. One of my leagues, top scoring team, hasn't won yet. It's crazy how fantasy football works sometimes. There's a lot of luck involved. We all know that. But it's certainly not time to give up. So for those of you who are in desperate situations, I'll do my best for you today. And obviously, for those of us who are in, you know, even footing to good footing, this is a time to try to lean in and get further ahead. So let's put our work shoes on and see what we can do here. The quarterbacks are pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I'll go through these things quickly, but you know, the write-ups will pretty much tell the story. We're mostly looking at matchups and stuff at this point. I think Brissett's the guy to grab just from a season-long standpoint. He's got the gig. The matchup is good for this week, and I think he's playable pretty much every week. Dalton is a trickier thing. You know, he could conceivably lose his job. I don't really think it's as bad as a lot of people are saying, and I mean, you guys know I'm not much of a Dalton fan. I do think he's actually a reasonably good fit for this new offense they're trying to put in. I guess one of the key things is going to be, will AJ Green come back and sort of save him before things get too far out of hand or something like that? But I really think this offense could crush once they've got that third good receiver out there. Anyway, if that doesn't happen, maybe they end up doing well with Finley or whatever, and we'll switch to Finley at some point as a streamer, pickup, whatever. But Dalton, I think, is a good add, particularly for this week. Really, if you're looking for just a QB for this week, he may be the guy to add. He's going to be in a high-volume game against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals don't play much defense. So really a good situation for Andy Dalton this week. Mariota, I've been telling you guys over the last year, it's not as bad as it looks. I mean, Marcus is not a great quarterback, but he's better than he showed, really last season when he was playing on a really bad team with an awful offensive game plan. Things are obviously looking better over the last couple weeks. He's been efficient, and he's got, you know, wheels. The guy can run. So Mariota is, I would say, at the very least, a toehold at quarterback. Same thing with Gardner Minshew, you know, and the guy's getting it done. No reason you can't throw that guy out there in a deep league. For short-term considerations, Chase Daniel will get a start this week. I'm thinking he probably gets at least one more. Are they going to rush Trubisky to get back? I'm thinking they might want to get his head clear. So I'm thinking Trubisky's at least 2 weeks, but that's nothing more than a gut feel. That does it for the quarterbacks I have up there right now. Those guys will all be in the afternoon article. I may add another name or two, so look for that if quarterback is a need position for you. But let's move over to these running backs, because that's really, I think, the spot I really want to hit hard on this week, because obviously running backs can change our fortunes quite a bit. And there's a couple guys out there. I mean, nothing new to folks who've been reading The Wire. It's a lot of the same people we've been talking about. But I think in at least a couple of these cases, this really may be our last chance to get these players. So let's take a look. Oh, and you know, one name that I actually forgot to mention with the quarterbacks is Sam Darnold, who probably is not going to be a guy we want to start this week. There's even a possibility he doesn't return this week. But I think Darnold really starting next week, once he's back, and he's got Chris Herndon back, and Robbie Anderson is now fully healthy after the bye week. The Jet offense is definitely going to pick things up. They've got a real quarterback now. They've got all their weapons. They've already blown the season to some extent. This is usually when the Jets start picking things up. So seriously, I think Darnold, not necessarily for this week, but really for weeks 9 to the end of the season, I think is a great add. So if for some reason you got dumped in a super flex league or in a really deep league, I think he's a guy who can help you. So let's get over to the running backs now. Now, there's two guys here at RB that I want to talk about primarily. And we're not going to spend tons of time on each one because we've really hit these guys up and down really throughout, you know, the summer and over the years and certainly on the waiver wire through the early weeks of this season. So Ronald Jones of the Bucks. Now, look, Jones wasn't perfect last week. It's not like he, if you look at his statistics, he had a nice day. You know, he scored and he put up 70 yards on the ground. And, you know, he finally got some touches. I believe the carries were at 17, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, Jones is definitely a guy where, you know, we're excited about what we're seeing in terms of the trend. You know, it's a big upgrade over what we saw last week. And what we did see last week is 49% snap share. Now, that's a big deal for Jones. It's his high watermark of the year, 36 total snaps. Last week was his high watermark before that at 23. So that's a significant step in the right direction. And we've been talking, we need to sort of get to that point where he's clearly the primary guy. But, you know, 19 rushes for 20 for 70 yards is pretty good. That's 10 more rushes than Peyton Barber. Now, Peyton Barber came in and pretty much owned that game on the first series. After that, he was an afterthought. It was pretty much Jones's day. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can talk about with Ronald Jones. The first thing you should probably know is this guy lost two really nice runs to penalty. If it weren't for an illegal shift, he's got about 130 rushing yards on the day. So that's important to note. But I really think the key thing, other than role is the key thing for Jones. But the other thing that is worth mentioning is, you know, he passes the eye test, particularly relative to the other two backs. It's clear that Agunlie is going to be a passing down specialist and perhaps not even a full-time one. It's also clear that Barber is good at what he does, but he's never going to really do more than what he does. This is Jones' backfield to take. It always has been, which is why we've talked about him in the terms that we've talked about him up until this point of the season. But now we've had a game where you get a legitimate breakout, not just in terms of making some plays, but in terms of being the back who was clearly the guy. Now, we've talked about Arians. He can go back. There can be a game plan specific element to this whole thing. And I've spoken, I think it was last week where I mentioned, and maybe even week two as well, that Jones is a player where you want to make him earn it. You don't want to just give it to him because he's a player, you know, his strengths are his physicality. And his weaknesses are the disconnect between the physicality and making it happen every week. And that usually has, you know, to do with getting everything down mentally, getting the scheme down. And if you look at his tape last week, and I watched the whole game, you will see that his quickness and his quick feet are starting to happen. He's getting comfortable in the scheme. He's starting to make things happen within a given play. When it's not there, he will break a tackle. And that's something that we're not seeing as much from Barber. Barber can run through some contact, no doubt about it. But there were several plays last week where Jones, you know, he gets the ball. There's a guy in the backfield. Now, he may have taken a one-yard loss on a play, but he turned several plays that could have been four, you know, three-yard losses into one-yard losses. And that's a significant thing. That's the kind of thing the coaches will notice, even if people who go by stats don't. So Jones is flashing that ability. And, you know, long windup here, but for fantasy purposes, what are we looking for? We're looking for people who can actually take a gig over. And this is a good gig. This is a good offense. We saw it last week, right? They put up a ton of points, a ton of yardage. And this is against the Rams, not some pushover team. And it was on the Rams' home field. So, you know, this is a player, I think, unlike pretty much any player out there, where he doesn't need an injury. All he needs to do is take this thing and run with it. You know, the next guy up is Jalen Samuels, and he's definitely a guy to pick up this week, and we'll get into that. But the thing about Jalen Samuels is, for him to hit, you know, full value, we probably need something to happen to James Conner. That, you know, that's just not the case with Ronald Jones. He can, as much as I'm a guy who respects Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones can displace Peyton Barber just by playing to his own potential. So that makes him more valuable than a lot of these other guys. And then the other thing is, again, we've spoken about this before, but this is a scheme that's finding itself. What's Ronald Jones going to look like in this scheme in the second half of the season, where Bruce Arians isn't teaching the coaches as much as he is now? So, you know, to me, Hopefully you guys already have Jones. Obviously, I've been pretty clear about why we want to add him, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be like your last chance. Now, I mean, maybe Arians punks us again and next week is a barber week and we get one more crack at the apple. But just to, you know, to put a finer point on this, I don't care if Jones has a bad week next week. It's not about the individual weekly result. It's about this kid's talent, this scheme, and the fact that unless they make a trade or something, which is not likely to happen, Melvin Gordon signed, Zeke signed, there's no great backs floating out there. So, you know, this is a situation where Jones can control his own destiny by playing well. And this is a team, again, where if they get this thing down, and by the way, Jameis Winston yesterday, he made a couple head scratchers, as he always does. But like I said early in the season, we don't care about him losing games for the Bucs too much. They don't have a viable replacement. What we care is that he can deliver the ball in quality fashion. And he was doing that yesterday. He actually put some nice balls out there. So this is an offense that should be able to produce volume statistics. You know, whether they're a good football team is another question. But Ronald Jones is in a pretty good platform right now. I really just don't think that you can afford to leave him out on the waiver wire another week. Go get this guy. Next guy up, Jalen Samuels. As I say in the waiver wire, last night's game was a bit of an eye-opener, not in terms of skill set, because we've been talking about Jalen Samuels really ever since we did his rookie eval last year. I was very adamant, for those who remember, that this guy is not a tight end. He is a running back. Moreover, he's not some gimmick player running back. This guy is a legit big back. He can run downhill, but he can also break formation. He can run routes from tight end. He can run slot routes. He can run outside. He can get in there, as we saw last night, play wildcat quarterback. Because of the way they score these little forward tosses, he got like 30 passing yards last night, in addition to some receiving yards and rushing yards. He put up like 16 plus fantasy points in one of my leagues. So Jalen Samuels is just a guy to make sure he's rostered. Go get Jalen Samuels, period. Now, the rationale is that he's one of the best handcuffs out there, but as we saw last night, in this new offensive paradigm, without Big Ben, they're trying to find ways to score points and to put yardage up. Jalen Samuels is as special a player as you will find on this team in terms of versatility. They don't have a player anywhere near as versatile as Jalen Samuels. So I think you got to get this guy on your team. It's not out of the realm that this guy creates an RBBC here. It's not outside the realm that he takes the gig from Connor. It's just not outside the realm. I'm not predicting it because I think Connor's a good player too. But in all honesty, Jalen Samuels is probably a better player. And at some point, the Steelers may have to make a tough choice. I think more likely it morphs into a committee where, and the one thing we noticed last night, and I have to go get the data on this, I don't have it yet, but these guys were playing on the field together. So there's certainly a possibility that Jalen Samuels can create a role for himself without really killing Connor's value. So that's something we also want to look at. But just go get Jalen Samuels, period. There's so many ways this guy can become a valuable player. He shouldn't be on the waiver wire, even in 10-team leagues, unless you've just got tiny little benches. I don't think this guy should be on the waiver wire. Okay, some other guys at running back we want to talk about. We'll go through these guys fairly fast. I think most of these guys will be on the final waiver wire. Frank Gore, now, looked good against the Patriots, played less than half the snaps, but got 17 carries, went over 100 yards. What can we say? This guy is some type of zombie or something, the zombie running back. Now, the key thing with Gore, obviously, is that Singletary could come back this week. I think he probably will. So couch your value on Gore with the Singletary thing. Singletary will probably come back, steal a fair amount of these rushing attempts, and could conceivably eclipse Gore in full at some point over the next month or so. But Gore should have some value, particularly for those of you who play in non-PPR formats. Rashad Penny, I would say he's almost in the Samuels bucket, maybe even more valuable than Samuels because he has the potential to take this gig. But he, in fact, let's put it that way, he's a little bit more like Ronald Jones in that he can beat out Carson without Carson getting hurt. I mean, Carson puts the ball on the turf one more time, and lucky for him, he didn't last week. But if he does one more time and Penny's healthy, I mean, Penny could go in. He's the kind of guy, they just give him 15 carries over the second half of a game, and he owns it. It's over. So, you know, again, and I've been critical of Penny, and I'll continue to be, because he's not a complete player. But when it comes to running the football, they want a guy who's not going to fumble and give him production. And so far, Penny has shown that he can do that. He definitely runs the ball with more authority than Carson. So he really needs to be owned in all leagues, because he's got the ability to flip the switch, take the gig, become an RB1, and it all happens really fast. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but it potentially can happen. And these are the types of players we want on our bench, the anti-fragility factor. They can suddenly reshape your whole team. This guy who is on your bench is suddenly your RB1. Penny can be that type of factor. So don't let him sit there in the waiver wire. Jordan Howard, he's owned probably 60% of leagues or thereabouts. But we've seen, look, this guy's the goal line back. He's going to score touchdowns because this team is going to score touchdowns. It's not always pretty. But we also saw him, and I've mentioned this, no, he doesn't have great hands, but he does have the ability to make plays in the passing game. And that touchdown he scored was easy peasy stuff. There was no stress on that play. That can happen again. So this guy can do things in the passing game. He's probably in a 50% timeshare or worse, but he's going to score some touchdowns. He's definitely a guy who should be owned in all leagues. Raheem Mostert back off the bye. Some people will probably be going after him because of what we've seen the last couple weeks, but keep an eye on Tevin Coleman. If Coleman comes back this week, it probably mutes his value. Chris Thompson still has that PPR appeal. Darrell Williams, on the 49ers. Now, obviously, you guys know what I think of Darrell Williams, and he has been getting half the juice, and he's definitely worth a start if Damian Williams doesn't come back. If Damian Williams is practicing early this week, that's a pretty good sign that Darrell Williams won't be worth a lot. Now, in most leagues, do we still want to roster him? Yeah, LeSean McCoy's already banged up. Damian's already banged up. Williams seems to be running ahead of Darwin Thompson for now. Hopefully, going forward, for my money, I've got this guy rostered everywhere. But in 12-team leagues, don't let go of Darrell Williams, I don't think. But he may not have viability in your lineup for the interim, depending on the injury situation. So just keep your head on a swivel with that. Latavius Murray, fading value, but still a guy who's worth handcuffing. Nyheim Hines and Wilkins on the Colts. We need to know more about Mac's situation, but it sounds like Mac's going to be good to go this week. So I wouldn't go throwing too much fab money at his backups. Obviously, we still have some guys like Madison and Pollard. These guys are still must-own handcuffs. Ito Smith was back at 40% snap share after the concussion, so he's still a guy to keep our eyes on. He didn't really do anything. I mean, Devontae Freeman, to me, is still the back to own there, but Smith is a good handcuff, and he certainly would probably move into like a 60% snap share if something happened to Freeman. And obviously the fact that he scored a touchdown and got a handful of touches playing 40% of the snaps, he does have some, easy for me to say, standalone value. Okay, let's wrap up a couple more backs here and move on, because I am already pushing the 20-minute mark. And silly me, I was thinking I might get you guys out in 30 minutes today. That's probably not going to happen, sorry. But I promise these waiver wire pods will get a little bit tighter as we move into the deeper part of the season. A lot of the stuff will have just been said already, and the really exciting stuff will be getting smaller on a week-to-week basis. Other running backs we want to hit here. Look, Malcolm Brown hasn't been getting as much juice. They've been trying to help Gurley, and for what it's worth, Gurley has looked, I think, a little bit better. I would not be scared right now if I was a Gurley owner. I think you're going to get some value out of this guy, but don't get silly and do something like letting go of Malcolm Brown. He looks good. He looks healthy. If something happens to Gurley, this guy is a monster. A monster. So do not let go of Malcolm Brown. As far as standalone value, it's not predictable right now, but don't let go of him. Gio Bernard's still a great handcuff. Could have some flex appeal this week in a game that should be wide open. Let me see. What else? Rykel Armstead, there's a good one. He finally got in there, got a touchdown, got some yardage. Clearly, he is the back to own behind Fournette, who is a soft tissue injury waiting to happen. So if I'm a Fournette owner, man, there's no way I'm not rostering Rykel Armstead. And if I've got a roster spot to play with, I'm very cool stashing Reichwell Armstead and hoping Fournette does what Fournette does. So that's an easy one. Jonathan Hillman on the Giants, if you're really looking for some deep depth for a couple weeks behind Gallman. Deion Lewis, still a good handcuff for Derrick Henry. Darwin Thompson, still worth a bench spot in deeper leagues. CJ Procise, probably going to be a guy we can let go of in the deeper formats, assuming everything goes well with Penny this week. Keep your head on a swivel there. I am still stubbornly stashing Justice Hill. I don't care what anybody says. This kid's a serious talent. It's just a matter of him getting some touches. I'm telling you, keep him stashed in deeper leagues. I'll probably end up coming up with another running back or two on the final waiver wire. Jamal Williams, I think, is a guy I want to look at, find out where his health is at. He could be a guy to add in some leagues. Certainly, if you're looking to use him as a handcuff, just pick him up now. And let's jump over and look at some of these receivers. And sincerely, I'm going to do my best to get you guys out of here in under 40 minutes. Pretty sure we're going to get that done. I definitely want to hit on about, five, six, seven, eight receivers. Some of these guys I think are sort of important. Golden Tate, obviously, he's not going to be a star for you, but I think in full PPR scoring, he's definitely a viable flex play to third receiver on most weeks. Who knows, maybe he clicks with Jones and he ends up being more than that, but I think for now, in full PPR leagues, Tate has to be owned. I think in all 12-team leagues, Tate should be owned. Again, we don't know exactly what he's going to be when it comes to Daniel Jones, but this is a guy who will help them in the screen game. Obviously, he's very tough after the catch. And I think Golden Tate in some ways has been forgotten because last year was sort of an odd season for him. He got traded during the year. He's got the suspension early this year. Golden Tate's a good football player, and this is a team that's looking for places to throw the football. So Golden Tate, pick him up. He's probably owned in most 12-team leagues already, but I think he's a must-add player right now. Deontay Johnson, a little bit more of a question mark than Tate. We don't know exactly what he's going to be. We don't know exactly what the Steelers are going to be. But as I've been saying till I'm blue in the face, this guy, apart from Juju, is the one guy on that team who we know is pretty good. He can get off the line. He's a playmaker. He's got quickness. He's got long speed. We saw him catch the deep ball last night. Saved my ass, actually, in one league. I won my match with Pat Thorman absolutely 100% based on that one long touchdown catch. So thank you, Deontay. But really, I think for most teams, he's a really nice guy to put on your bench or to use as a flex. He's going to be a nice player to help us through the bye weeks, and he should be owned pretty much everywhere. Same thing with Cortland Sutton. Caught two touchdowns last week. He's playing 90% plus of the snaps every single week. He's basically turning into their number one receiver. He's really only had one bad game in the first 4 weeks, so Sutton needs to be owned everywhere, and he's available in about half the leagues. A.J. Brown. Now, this is a guy we really need to talk about. obviously, we love his talent. He was my number two rookie receiver going into the draft. Unfortunately, he got a little bit of a tough landing spot because there are multiple guys fighting for time in the slot on the Titans. Obviously, Brown and Humphreys being the two primary ones. Now, Humphreys' snaps did dip this week, which is a good sign. Unfortunately, Tajay Sharpe seemed to fill in some of the gap. I don't know what their fixation with Tajay Sharpe is. Obviously, he's a pretty good blocker, good all-around football player. But, man, he's blocking my guys, and it's pissing me off. I think eventually Sharpe's snaps come down, and Brown turns into a 70-plus snap guy. I think it probably happens sometime in the next couple weeks, and I think we're going to want to have Brown on our benches or as a flex play in our lineups over that time. So go get A.J. Brown if he's out there for you. And the next one, I just can't believe this guy's under 50% owned. I don't know what's wrong with people sometimes, but Corey Davis is out there on more than 50% of Yahoo wires. I know he didn't do much the first 3 weeks. I know Mariota was frustrating people, but Mariota's looked better the last couple weeks. Davis went off for 90 and a touch. The matchup isn't good this week. He's got the Bills, but over the rest of the season, he's got some good matchups out there. Man, it's just criminal. Corey Davis should not be unowned in any league, period. Go get this guy. In all honesty, I think Sutton first, but then Davis. Davis needs to be owned. It's just crazy. This guy's got crazy upside. Go get Corey Davis. Now, next we have the three 49ers receivers, all of them below 50%. You've got Marquise Goodwin. We've got Dante Pettis, and we've got Deebo Samuel. My personal preference would be to own Samuel first, Pettis second, and Goodwin third. First of all, Goodwin's the most likely guy to get hurt, but in addition, I just think Deebo is the guy they seem to be prepping for more of a volume role. I did like what I saw out of Pettis last week. Not last week, but in week three. They were on the bye last week. I thought Pettis was moving pretty well. Did not look hurt to me at all. And he was involved in the red zone a couple times. So I think Pettis is coming back. I think especially in deeper leagues, if he's been dumped, man, pick him up. But look, let's just think about the 49ers offense now. They're past the bye. This is an offense that, you know, Shanahan offenses in general tend to get better as the season wears on. So let's get these 49ers receivers rostered. I think all of them are priorities. Again, Marquise Goodwin, Deebo Samuel, and Dante Pettis. I would value them, Deebo, Pettis, Goodwin. It's pretty tight. I don't think, you know, that they necessarily are separated by a ton, but in full PPR, I think Samuel, his skill set leads to the possibility of him being a volume weapon. So I would prioritize him slightly. But all three of these 49 receivers, they just have to be owned, especially when we factor in that we're past the bye. These guys are going to be able to help you every week when you're in a jam. So they may be, you know, we'll have to see how this evolves. I think eventually one of these guys turns into a high-end three, maybe a low-end two, but I think they're all going to have flex appeal every week. These are guys we can put in our lineups when we need players. So roster these 49 receivers. Do it now. Cole Beasley, again, looking like a player we can trust in full PPR formats. I'm going to pull it up here just to be sure that I'm right. But yeah, Cole Beasley, 86% of the snaps. That's a big number for Cole Beasley. If he's going to be on the field that much, again, we've talked about the connection he's got with Allen. 7 receptions on 13 targets last week. Man, 13 targets. Cole Beasley, folks, he needs to be owned in full PPR leagues. The Dolphins are on the bye this week, but I think all three of their receivers have some appeal in deeper leagues. Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, and he should be back in week 6 in the slot, Albert Wilson. Mohamed Sanu is a player we can pick up. You know, who's got some flex appeal in deeper leagues. Kiki Kuti with Stills' hamstring injury should be a viable flex play this week. Geronimo Allison is one to watch. We were worried about his snap reduction, and it was a real thing. I mean, I didn't just pull that out of my you-know-what, but it was nice to see him getting more involved last week. Looking at the snaps now, now, Adams did have that toe injury, so that elevates his snaps a little bit. But I think even before Adams went out, Allison was playing more snaps. So that was good to see. Adams ended up at 70. Valdez-Scantling was at 86. And Allison was at 79. I think without Adams' injury, he still comes in around 60, which is a nice step up for him. He hadn't cleared 50 at all this year. He was down to 46 in week 3. But the fact that he was in the end zone, the fact that he looked pretty good, he was moving well, and that he was playing so many snaps, I think Geronimo Allison's a great player to pick up, really, in all scoring formats this week. I'm going to be going on throughout the day. We're going to be looking at some of the Cleveland receivers, who we should pick up in terms of Jarvis Landry's concussion. He may be out this week. Auden Tate in deep leagues is a guy we can look at until A.J. Green comes back. I think he's going to continue to give us some production. Nothing crazy, but he's a touchdown guy. So, you know, 50 yards and a touch can be, you know, a not atypical week for him. Chris Conley, still a guy who I think is viable in deep leagues. Paris Campbell's a guy we need to look at. He had an abdominal injury, didn't play a lot down the tail end of that game. But definitely he's a guy who I want us to keep stashed if we can. But if you're in a jam, he's a guy you might be able to release and get back this week if he's going to be out. So keep your head on a swivel with him. And that's going to do it for the receivers for the podcast. I'm definitely going to be looking at some of these guys in terms of adding some more names to the wire. And again, with the waiver wire, the best way to do it as far as the Rotobond site is check it late in the day when I've added most of the names. I'm going to be watching another couple hours of film today to look at some of these guys to decide what I want to do with them. And before we get you out of here, let's talk a little bit of tight ends. Oh, and you know, one receiver I didn't mention that I should have is Jamison Crowder in the Jets. Looks like his ownership rate has dipped a little bit. This week may not be great, depending on what happens with Darnold and everything, but certainly I think going forward, second half of the season, I think Crowder's an excellent guy. He can start for you every single week in full PPR leagues. So yeah, go get Jamison Crowder, man. Back to the tight ends and back to the Jets. Chris Herndon, I mean, there's not a lot to go into here. It's the same story I've been telling you guys for the last couple weeks. Just get him now, stash him. He can be your starter, really, I think, as soon as next week, week six. And you can probably keep him in your lineup every week for the rest of the season. He'll be past the bye, off his suspension, and enjoying the Jets' improving schedule. So I think Herndon's a great, great addition. Conceivably, he could end up being the best guy on the wire this week. Obviously, the running backs are going to be a higher priority. But Herndon, I mean, the thing about Herndon is he's more receiver than tight end, and he's a guy that really clicked with Darnold last year. Darnold trusts him. He's willing to throw him 50-50 balls when he needs to. So I think Herndon's really got a shot to do some things. He's obviously a good red zone weapon as well. Moving down this list, look, Jimmy Graham's getting volume. He played over 70% of the snaps last week. He's getting targeted by Aaron Rodgers. It's not pretty. He's a little bit washed, but there's going to be some stats there. It's like a little bit, you know, it's like 10% better than Jason Witten, who's also a decent ad in deeper formats. Dawson Knox last week got up to 65% of the snaps. Now, that's 10% higher than he's been all year. And he's really been playing in this role now all year. They just keep doing, you know, giving him a little bit more each week. Picked up another 58 yards receiving against the Patriots. I think in deeper formats, he can be a starter if you need him to be. Certainly a solid backup in typically sized leagues. And he's a good player. You know, Dawson Knox is not some stiff. He played on a college team that had a lot of alpha receivers. So he didn't put up, you know, the kind of passing statistics that he otherwise might have. This guy's a pretty good football player, and he's a good fit for Josh Allen. So if you're hurting at tight end, particularly in a deeper league, Dawson Knox might be able to help you. Jack Doyle, similar kind of thing, probably more of a stable asset than Knox, more floor value, maybe not as much ceiling. But yeah, you know, Doyle's been really in that 70-80% snap range most weeks, and he's got a relationship with Brissett. He's a solid starter if you need him. He's not a tight end one. I don't think he's going to become one, but you can put him in your lineup and get some points every week. If you're looking for more upside, Noah Fant, played over 70% of the snaps last week. That's the most since week one. He scored on a little tight end screen where he made some people miss, ran through some arm tackles. That was good to see. So, you know, they're looking for ways to get him the football and make him a factor. This is a rebuilding team. Guys like Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant, they are going to be really big going forward because what this team wants to do is develop players. So I think Fant's a good pickup. Last guy we're going to talk about, and I will have a couple more guys in the article, but the last guy we're going to talk about here is Ricky Seals-Jones on the Browns. Obviously, we know Seals-Jones is a talented guy. He can be a playmaker. It's just a matter of him getting into the right spot in the right scheme. Now, he only played 21 snaps in the game, but once again, made an impact. 80 yards. I mean, 80 freaking yards, man. That's pretty good. So Ricky Seals-Jones, now we're looking at a team, obviously, that's got a little bit of a gap in terms of playmakers. They're without David Njoku. So when we see a guy coming in here and putting up 80 yards, it's impressive. Obviously, in addition to the 80 yards, he scored a touchdown, three receptions on the day. So Seals-Jones, now obviously at 21 snaps played, he's not going to be repeating these type of statistics. But if they can get him up into that 40% range, like actually make him, you know, like he can be sort of an offense only tight end, but we need opportunity to be a little bit higher. If we get it, I mean, this guy, you know, given this offense and the way it works and the fact they've got a big time running back in Chubb and a receiver that demands extra attention in Beckham, if they can find a way to make this guy a consistent hookup, he could be a startable asset until Njoku gets back. So Seals-Jones, maybe not a guy to add this week, definitely a guy to pay attention to in deeper leagues, maybe use him as a stash or something. But this is a guy to pay attention to. Okay, that's pretty much going to do it for the Rotobon Waiver Wire podcast as we move into week five. I hope you guys had a good week four. It was wild for me, man. I was like looking at a bottle of paint thinner there for a while. My cash team was just totally sucking wind. But thankfully, Gallman had a big day. Eckler had a big day. They made up for Mahomes not throwing a touchdown pass. Only I could put Mahomes in my cash lineup the first time he ever doesn't throw a touchdown pass. And then Cooper Kupp came on strong like we expected him to and carried me over the line. Hopefully you guys had a similar experience. I'm definitely going to be leaning in on DFS this week. We'll definitely have a DFS pod on Saturday. The reason I ended up not doing the Sunday pod, just because I know I teased it that I might do it and then I didn't. I just didn't make any changes to the cash core that I had talked about on Saturday. So what's really the point doing a podcast just to say, hey, nothing's changed, is sort of silly. But I am going to start considering those Sunday pods, you know, like, because the way my process works, just so you guys understand, and, you know, I know it's not your job to follow my logistics, but, you know, I've mentioned this before, but you go to some of the bigger sites, they've got one guy who does the waiver wire, another guy does the rankings, another guy does the DFS stuff. You know, for me, I do all of this stuff every week, and I don't really get to turn my guns, my vision, my attention, if you will, to the current week until I get everything put away with the waiver wire stuff. So sometimes for me, I really don't get my eyes forward onto the week's DFS until, you know, Wednesday when I'm finally done with all my waiver claims and stuff. So that's why sometimes I'm a little bit behind in my process on Saturday, and that's why sometimes I think we may end up doing a second DFS pod, just a quick one on Sundays. Because sometimes when I get to my process, like on Saturday when I want to do the pod, I'm like 60% of the way through my work, and you can't do that. So just to let you guys know what's going on for the rest of the week, we'll have the typical Thursday content. We'll get the rankings up. I'll be doing a podcast with Jimmy on Friday. Hopefully this one won't get lost in digital hell, whatever. We recorded an hour podcast last week that never went up. That will happen this week. It'll go up. I'll have my EEI article for DFS starts, which usually aligns fairly well with my Saturday podcast. We'll have the Saturday rankings update, as always, and then Jimmy and I with the Fantasy Football Hour on Sunday. So hopefully things are going well for you guys. If you need help with your bids, if you're looking for a second opinion, I should be around most of the evening. I'll probably be online. My guess is going to be from like 8 to 10. So if you have questions on pickups, feel free to hit me. I'll do my best to get back to you as quickly as I can. And that'll do it for this week's Rotobond Pod Waiver Wire Edition. Hopefully you guys are kicking ass, but be aggressive tonight. There's some good people out there. Go get some talent, and we'll keep this train rolling. Thanks for listening. Be good.